At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Hey, it's another edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-host today, Matt Harrison.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Two consecutive shows. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I got a little vacation coming up here.
Oh,
and I'm going up to northern Wisconsin and hanging out at the lake.
With the Sconnies?
Yeah, you know, Eagle River, Wisconsin. Sneaky, awesome vacation destination.
Why is that?
It's just kind of like it's a huge chain of lakes. They got restaurants and resorts and stuff all over it, but like nobody really knows about it. It's just kind of a sneaky little place up north.
Well, I mean, mostly because you're surrounded by Wisconsinites.
Yeah, I mean, you're only a stone's throw from the Upper Peninsula as well.
There's a nice little casino.
Yeah. You can throw some craps, do some sports betting, all that stuff.
Well, Wisconsin legalized gambling.
That's true.
Right, so it's coming to Wisconsin too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Just not Minnesota. He says bitterly.
We're not bitter at all.
Oh, no, not at all. This week, we're going to break down the NFC West. That's the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Cardinals, as I understand it.
That seems to be right.
This is our final four teams. We started pecking away at this in February.
Okay.
But then we get interrupted for like the combine.
And
we get interrupted
for the draft.
And then free agency. But we're back.
Okay.
And now we'll have knocked down all the teams, all the things that you want to get up to speed on the teams in the NFC West, including, you know, now we're getting really much better ADP data and a lot of other stuff to talk through. Let's begin with let's do the 49ers as our starting team because, man, there's a lot of moving parts in this team right now. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I get the feeling the Niners, more than any other team in the NFL, is going to be the one that you win or lose big on with your fantasy hedges here or gambles.
If you are doing some June best ball drafts right now, you could be drafting a whole bunch of 49ers that may not be on the team come training camp.
Right. Or may not be starters.
Anymore. So we'll start with Deebo Samuel. He showed up for the mandatory mini camps after missing all the voluntary workouts amidst his trade demand on draft day. On Deebo, if he gets traded, he wants the big mega wide receiver deal, not a running back slash wide receiver deal.
I bet.
There's only a few teams that can handle that from a cap perspective this year and next year, none of which appear to be super attractive destinations for Deebo. Those would be Chicago, New England, the Giants, and the Texans. I don't think that's an upgrade for Deebo if he goes anywhere else. So if you're a Deebo fan, you want him to stay put.
Yeah.
He's only making $4 million this year. He hits unrestricted free agency offseason.
That's the real issue is the $4 million he's making this year.
So a trade trade or a contract prior to training camp, I think is almost a done deal. Something's going to happen with Debo before training camp starts.
Turns out the Niners needed, they could have done it over again, they needed to re-sign him before free agency started and all these wide receiver deals went berserk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? The Christian Kirk deal started all of the other ones.
The butterfly effect.
Yeah, Diggs gets his, Tyreek Hill gets his, and now, you know, Debo Samuel wants, you know, what's saying? Had they just, like, re-signed him right at the end of the season,
sure,
I think they would have gotten a pretty big discount on what Debo Samuel will ultimately end up costing the Niners now if they want to keep him.
Well, there's another player that's probably not going to be on the Niners come training camp, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. There's been steam all offseason that he was on the trading block, but an injury somewhat blocked a trade for him. It sounds like some execs just think that Jimmy G will just get cut before camp, which makes sense.
What?
He's set to make $27 million this year. He's in the last year of his deal, though, and the dead cap hit is $1.4 million. So it's pretty easy to let Jimmy G walk if they can't find a trade partner. Getting rid of Jimmy G feasibly frees up the cap space to sign Debo long term. So
if Jimmy G is going to go anywhere, it's either Seattle or Carolina or a team that gets some quarterback injury, right? That we don't know yet.
So
it feels like the destinations, and in either of those destinations, it doesn't necessarily do a ton for him.
No, and the only way that Garoppolo stays put is if the team truly doesn't believe in sophomore Trey Lance.
Yep.
And the spin out of mini camps, I was like looking up all the Trey Lance dirt I could find.
Right.
So here's the spin. Steve Young is mentoring Trey Lance. He's taking ownership of the offense. Players and coaches are praising him. Now that all sounds great.
Ah, that doesn't mean anything.
But frankly, if things were going poorly, that's exactly what they'd be saying. Some dude also posted a video I don't know who it was, Lance's sweet deep balls in minicamp on YouTube.
Well, and he does throw a great deep ball.
The deep balls that I saw on YouTube were like going 25 yards in the air. I was like, this isn't a deep ball at all. These are moderate passes here. He has probably the biggest range of outcomes of all quarterbacks this year.
That could be true.
He could be a top 10 quarterback. He could be benched.
Top five. He could be a top five quarterback absolutely. With the rushing ability that Trey Lance has.
It's the biggest high-risk, high-reward gamble of a quarterback that you can take this year. If you feel like rolling the dice, I mean, actually, it's kind of a fun way to play because there's so many good quarterbacks in the league that you could get like a guy like Kirk Cousins later and just have a solid quarterback as your backup.
I can get Kirk Cousins first, I bet.
Yeah, probably.
And then, so I take somebody who's as steady as Cousins that never misses games, always throws you, you know, a touchdown. He's gone 30 games with at least one touchdown,
sure.
Then I back him up with the highest risk player there is.
I shouldn't have mentioned
really
Kirk Cousins. Lathered up.
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. He's coming off a somewhat disappointing year, one where he spent most of September and October in the doghouse. Managed to have a decent November through January, though.
He did. He did.
From week 9 through the conference championship game, Ayuk averaged 6 targets, 4 catches, 63 yards per game, and he scored 4 times in that span.
That's pretty good.
So that's 10 PPR points in that time, and plus whatever touchdowns you get there.
Yeah, half a touchdown.
If Debo ends up going anywhere, Ayuk just gobbles up a lot more target share, in my opinion. Jawan Jennings and Ray McCloud are currently listed next on the depth chart.
Jennings, I thought Jennings looked pretty good in splashes last year, and if anything happens to Debo Samuel... And even if Samuel's there, Jennings still probably a starter.
How about this? Keep an eye on Malik Turner, who is from the Cowboys last year. He had a few flashy games for Dallas last year. He's sitting a little lower on that depth chart, and he's kind of an interesting guy. But the guy that you want on San Francisco, and the guy I'm going to stake my claim a lot higher than probably a lot of other people, is George Kittle. Because when he's healthy... he's just absolutely awesome. He came back from injury in week 9. The last 9 games of your fantasy season, Kittle averaged 5 catches, 75 yards, and 2/3 of a touchdown per game.
Mm.
That's a pace of 89 catches, 1,300 yards, and 11 scores. That would have made him tight end 2 ahead of Travis Kelce.
Wow.
And just a few PPR points behind Mark Andrews for tight end 1. So George Kittle... is right there. And there's a case to be made that he should be the top tight end off the board in fantasy.
Except for the injuries all the time.
Except for the injuries. But he's currently going off the board 5th. And you could get the fifth tight end off the board behind Kelsey, Pitts, Andrews, and Waller, and maybe get a guy who could give you tight end one kind of numbers. Mm-hmm. And if George Kittle can put a healthy season together, he's definitely got that upside. And then finally, the running game. Now, the running game, there's always been the joke, you know, the Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan, Shanahanigans, you know, running game in San Francisco. But Kyle's been slightly more predictable. He's usually picking one guy per game, and that guy's getting the bulk of the carries. There were only three games last season where a single running back in San Francisco did not get at least 13 carries in a game.
And I bet those could have been games that Elijah Moore started the game, but then, you know, he got dinged up a couple of times in the season.
Sure.
He might have, that could have been games he left.
And so there were also 13 games where a single back had 17 or more carries. Mm. 11 of those were Elijah Mitchell. The other two were Jeff Wilson.
Okay.
And those were games where Mitchell didn't play at all. So Mitchell seems like the clear-cut bell cow in this backfield. And it's weird to say that because you wouldn't think about a Shanahan offense with a bell cow runner, especially with Debo factoring in so much. But Elijah Mitchell is going at the end of round six. He's running back 24 right now.
Oh, man, perfect do the opposite running back.
He has so many fewer questions surrounding him than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, mm-hmm. A.J. Dillon, Josh Jacobs, Cordarrelle Patterson. Those guys are right there.
And those are timeshare backs.
Those are
and
timeshare
backs.
And
he may not be a timeshare back, to your point.
So it's Mitchell number one. It's Jeff Wilson number two. He's the clear handcuff in this situation as well. Trey Sermon is still there, but he's not going to be involved. And Tyrion Davis-Price is a deep league to stash on your taxi squad, just as a guy who might come up and, you know, might be one of those guys who, hey, maybe Jeff Wilson and Elijah Mitchell is hurt. We're bypassing Trey Sermon.
See, you're preaching to the choir because I didn't like Trey Sermon coming out of college.
Yeah.
Most people did, and then they spent, I think, the third round equity on him. I just don't think he's a notable back. I just didn't see I didn't see the flashes of greatness that I wanted from him. And so I'm kind of with you that
wouldn't
he's not going to be a factor.
But
most
listeners,
most listeners don't see it that way.
Yeah,
most listeners think Trey Sermon is just like, you know, the second year he can threaten.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people who planted their flag a little bit too early on the Trey Sermon mountain, and they can't get that flag out because, you know, they're just too proud. That's it. The Niners are done.
We go from the league's most highest risk reward quarterback situation to the league's most woeful quarterback competition, the Seahawks.
The highest risk and lowest reward.
That's right, and Geno Smith. Maybe Baker Mayfield, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo's into this before too long. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Geno Smith started three games last year and looked quasi-functional. He threw 1-1 and 2 scores in the three full starts. He threw another one in the half game he played when Russell Wilson got hurt. Completed 68% of his passes.
Wow.
Geno Smith? Really?
He needed those years off to just learn with the clipboard.
By the way, it's like a decade off for him. He hasn't entered a season as a starter since 2014.
Wow.
9 years.
Nine times. Hey, I have reason to believe you know where that is now.
I now know where the nine times button is right there.
Nine times.
Locke was dismal in his three games that Teddy Bridgewater missed last year in his three starts. Geno Smith is currently running more first team than Drew Locke and is the presumed starter at this moment.
It's Geno Smith's job to start.
I think it is, too. And you know what? He because he got into the league so young, I still think he's only 32 right now. Geno Smith might just end up being, with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, he might just end up being worthy of a roster spot. It's all the more positive I can bring myself to say.
How about a take-a-chance-on-me style
he
quarterback?
Will be. I think that's what he's going to be. So let's talk about DK Metcalf, currently mired in a contract dispute and not attending mandatory minicamps. That's not good.
Mm.
ADP has slumped to wide receiver 15 in the fourth round because of the change at quarterback. That feels about right to me. But I want to note this, Matt. He scored 4 of Geno Smith's 5 touchdown passes in those 3.5 games last year.
All right.
Went to DK Metcalf.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That's kind of a sign. His struggles last year happened with Russell Wilson. So Wilson comes back. Geno Smith starts those 3.5 games. And Metcalf's a fantasy producer in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Russell Wilson comes back, and he failed to hit double-digit fantasy points in 6 straight games with Russell Wilson. So everybody took DK Metcalf out of lineups, or you had him, you know, or you're all trepidation with him and you didn't use DK Metcalf. And then Russell Wilson comes back and everybody puts DK Metcalf back in their lineups.
Everybody got DK Metcalf wrong last year.
And that's when he slumped. Tyler Lockett going off the board as wide receiver 31 in the sixth round. So almost, you know, Metcalf was 15. He's 31 in the sixth round. You know the story here. He remains totally touchdown dependent, mm-hmm. and it's unclear if there's a quarterback on roster who can throw touchdowns. So I don't love having a touchdown dependent.
Don't you feel
wide receiver
Tyler
Lockett's
situation? Just going to do Tyler Lockett things, and he'll have one game with two scores and one game with three scores this year, and then one other touchdown the rest of the year,
it's
and you won't know
Lockett
where it's going to come from.
It is,
and it won't make any sense.
Two of his three Geno Smith starts were awful.
That's
starts.
Not good.
So I think a lot more caution on Tyler Lockett than DK Metcalf. Let's talk about the running backs, and we'll wrap this up. Rashad Penny averages from his five game average from December 12th forward last year, 18 carries, 134 yards, 7 yards per carry. And 1.2 touchdowns.
It's the return of beast mode.
That is. I mean, it's like Derrick Henry in his prime right here. Adrian Peterson numbers. One of the greatest fantasy playoff surges in memory.
Yeah.
Ron Dane from like 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Lendale White.
Yeah, I remember that. But here are the averages from the other 31 games he's played.
No, don't even say it. Just say they're really bad.
5 carries, 28 yards, and 0.2 touchdowns per game.
Mm.
That's it. The team put a very valuable second-round pick into Kenneth Walker, which says plenty. So you've got to ask yourself, what is more statistically significant to you? Is it the 31 games leading up to last December 12th? Or is it the 5 games after that that are his most recent 5 games?
Seattle has a long track record of having a bell cow.
They have a bell cow for sure.
Whoever wins this battle probably gets 70-75%
of the work.
So
is it Penny or is it Kenneth Walker, who is an absolute game breaker in college? To me, it's just a matter of how long before he displaces Penny. His pass blocking could be the difference, Matt. He was not a great pass blocker in college. Geno Smith or Drew Lock's going to need help. And if that ends up being a factor, that could keep Kenneth Walker on the bench longer than we want to believe it's going to be. But sooner or later, I'm confident that when it just comes to talent, Kenneth Walker's the best back they've got.
Sure. I mean, Rashad Penny, first rounder. Kenneth Walker, second rounder. I mean,
if only it were that simple. And honestly, God, Penny's still, there are still people that talk about Penny that way.
Yeah.
First round talent, you know, like that means anything in year 5 of his career.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, Matt. When we come back, let's break down Rams and Cardinals, and I will be unveiling one of my deepest sleepers in all.
Ooh, I think I already know who it is.
Really?
Yep,
I think
I do.
Wow, okay. We'll find out if you're right when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
It's segment number two, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Matt Harrison, Shock Fantasy. What are you doing at Shock Fantasy for the preseason coming up?
Just started the brand new Ultimate Best Ball cheat sheet. It's got a whole bunch of really cool stuff on it for ADPs for Best Ball 10s, Underdog, and their big contests.
Yeah.
There's a nice little chart in there that shows where everybody's being drafted. So you can kind of plan your best ball drafts a little bit better. Don't just react to a best ball draft. Come in and have a little
own
bit of
your
a plan.
Draft.
Own it. Come on. You need to know what you're doing.
I like that. Fantastic. The world champion Rams are next on the docket. Let's see what we've got here. And that, you know, there are some significant changes from last year for a team that is otherwise, I mean, most Super Bowl teams get raided.
Yeah.
Really, not that this team really didn't go through those kinds of changes so much.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Just a few little changes. We'll start with Matthew Stafford. You know, went to the Rams, threw down his best statistical year since 2011, equaling a career high in touchdown passes at 41, although there was one more game. And coming up just shy of 4,900 yards, there's not a ton of reason to think huge regression is coming for Stafford. It just looks like he finally got to a good spot, and he's just going to be this guy now. Cooper Kupp just signed a big extension. Did you know that he eats breakfast with Matthew Stafford?
You don't say.
Really? Yeah.
Wow, all right.
You don't need to know much about Kupp other than he'll be taken in the first round.
My understanding is Raisin Nut Brand, by the way.
Are you on the Raisin Nut Bran train?
I am.
You love the Raisin Nut Bran?
It's delicious.
Can you still get it?
You know what's absurd about not just that, but most cereals now?
Yeah.
The package is about a half inch thick. I mean, the cereal boxes have gotten so skinny, and it's because on the shelf you see the big flat side, right? But it's not until you pick it up in your hand and you go, there's nothing in my hand, and it's $7. That's the part that bugs me.
I think we need a official sponsor of Fantasy Football Weekly from the cereal
General Mills,
standpoint.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Right down Malt the road
O'Neil,
here.
Maybe. I don't know. One of those guys.
Hey, Dan. We need... I think this is a General Mills product. I'm pretty sure it is. Raisin Nut Bran.
Oh.
We need some.
Honey Nut Cheerios. Delightful.
People love it.
Yeah. You don't?
No.
Can tell. Let's move on to Allen Robinson. The team shipped off Robert Woods, who's coming back from an ACL, replaced him with Allen Robinson, who's coming off no actual quarterbacks in his career. He's had Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, and Justin Fields in his rookie year where he didn't like Allen Robinson for some reason.
No.
With that mess, he's put up three seasons with over 1,100 yards. He's seen 150-plus targets four times in his eight-year career. One of those years, he got an ACL injury on his first target of the year.
Yeah.
So we're looking at him in the tail end of the fourth round right now. And I believe Fish had the stat last week where when healthy, Robert Woods was basically a wide receiver one in that offense alongside Kupp. So, yeah, I think Allen Robinson's fourth
walks
round
into that.
Fourth round seems like a guy that I would take there. Odell Beckham, he's not back, but he's unsigned as he recovers from the Super Bowl knee injury. So that means Van Jefferson is currently your wide receiver three in LA. He's a fine late dart throw in best ball leagues, but beyond that, it's going to be tough to start him. The team keeps singing the praises of Tutu Atwell during minicamp as well. Whatever. But, you know,
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, exactly. Tyler Higbee has like one or two games per year where he's the top scoring tight end in fantasy for a week.
In these one or two games, he looks like the best tight end in football.
Yeah, he gives off that George Kittle vibe.
He does.
For one to two games per year. And they're usually against the 49ers, by the way. Mm. Maybe Kittle just brings it out of him. But he's just a guy. And then we're going to talk about the running game because that's the most interesting part. Cam Akers miraculously returned in week 18 after tearing his Achilles in July. That alone might be the biggest testament to his athletic ability, that he can do that in 6 months. Mm-hmm. That was crazy. He has more time to rehab to get stronger. He looked bad last year, though.
He did. After he came back, he was very pedestrian.
Yeah, you got to just think that he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
The Rams have to be looking at him like the guy at the tail end of 2020 who had double-digit PPR points in five of his last seven games. I think that that's how they view Cam Akers. Mm-hmm. And if not, they do have Daryl Henderson still. Can he take a big share of the touches? I'm not really sure. Henderson was dinged up as well through the tail end of last year, basically was a non-factor from the beginning of November through the Super Bowl. During that time, Sony Michel filled in as the feature back for the most part. Michelle's gone. So we got two guys with a little bit of an injury history. And then the Rams drafted Notre Dame running back Kyren Williams in the fifth round. With the injury history here and the Rams' tendency to ride the hot hand, Williams is going to be a factor at some point throughout this season. We're going to be talking him as a premature speculation or a take a chance on me kind of guy.
I bet you're right.
So Kyren Williams, a guy to just kind of file away on that watch list or just draft with the last pick in your best ball draft, that kind of thing.
Can we agree that we hope Cam Akers comes back and has a great career and looks just like the player he was before the Achilles injury while simultaneously acknowledging no running back in the history of the league has come back to play meaningful football on an Achilles injury?
None of them, really?
Zero.
Ugh.
Donta Foreman last year had a couple of good games.
Yeah.
Literally, that's as good as it gets.
Sure.
And that was, by the way, like 3 years off his Achilles.
Okay.
It is a death blow injury and not one that I hope he's the first. Right? Remember when Adrian Peterson came back from his ACL in 6 months and everybody's like, oh my God, this is like how now everybody does. Maybe that's what it's going to be with Achilles.
Sure.
Maybe now, medical science has moved Achilles and rehabbing and everything else has moved in Achilles to something everybody can come back for, but it's never happened.
Yep. All right. That's the Rams.
Let's go to the Cardinals.
Let's.
We begin with Kyler Murray. There is a small but non-zero chance that the dispute that Kyler Murray has for a new contract with the team does not get resolved and only turns saltier as the season gets closer here. Who knows how this thing might play out? It could be it's just a distraction all year. Could be bothering him. Could be he doesn't play. I mean, who knows? I mean, you need to add in just a little bit.
Maybe he goes back to the variance. Oakland A's.
Right. I'm reverting my rights back to my baseball drafting team. Now, for Murray, I think people view him as an elite fantasy quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a very good fantasy quarterback.
I agree. I don't think he's elite. I think he's good.
I think he's good.
Very good.
He's he doesn't pass at an elite level like, say, a Justin Herbert does, 5,038 touchdowns. He doesn't run like a Lamar Jackson does. In fact, they give him almost no carries in up close.
Yeah.
Near inside the five-yard line.
He's a lot smaller than some of these other quarterbacks,
too. That's part of it, too. And so, Murray is a high-functioning fantasy quarterback, but I don't view him in the elite strata of some of the other better passers and better running quarterbacks.
Agreed.
DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first six games. He'll return for the team's Thursday nighter on October 20th, but you will not get a start out of him until then. He's currently going off the board at wide receiver 39 in the eighth round. And you will not get any of the first six games.
Will you be starting DeAndre Hopkins on a Thursday night blind?
Yes. If he's on my team. He won't be on my team.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to not have a guy for 6 weeks, even in the eighth round. But if he were on my roster for some reason, for DeAndre Hopkins, I would do it.
Okay.
Sure. I would do it for him. By the way, undraftable in a guillotine league. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's your total disaster scenario. you know, and the opportunity cost here is just too high. So it's the eighth round. I can get Rashad Bateman one pick later on by ADP. And just the other thing I don't like about guys who are going to miss that much time, I got to burn a roster spot on that in many cases. You know, if I'm allowed to shelve him on IR, that's one thing.
Sure.
But if he's going to cost me a roster spot during his suspension,
yeah,
that's somebody else that could be, I could be throwing a dart on that, on somebody else right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You could have a trade chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Marquise Brown. You already know that he played at Oklahoma with Murray, so that, you know, that factors in a little bit, I guess. For 6 weeks, for those 6 weeks that Hopkins is gone, he'll be the go-to receiver in this offense, or at least the go-to wide receiver.
When
in this
Hopkins
offense.
Comes back, he still might be.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And maybe he cements that role. I mean, maybe he and Hopkins are so simpatico, Matt, that even when
him and Murray,
a future, yeah, thank you. Yeah. If Murray come back, that even when a future Hall of Famer, Hopkins comes back, Brown is still the go-to guy. Maybe it works out that way. Or Hopkins comes back and just daggers Marquise Brown and turns him more into the irregular fantasy producer that he was for most of his career in Baltimore.
Sure.
Let's go to AJ Green. I have never seen a receiver play one side of the field as much as AJ Green. Get this. He took 792 snaps from the right sideline.
Wow.
He took 38 across the rest of the field. I've never seen anything like that.
It was only when they go trips left and AJ Green's like, seriously?
Yeah, right. I don't even know how to run on that side of the field. It was so strange. I don't ever remember a receiver doing anything like that.
What if they figured out some weird thing like AJ Green like has like a better hand on the outside or something like that
maybe.
And can catch better on one side of the field?
Doesn't
some advanced metrics.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
I think AJ Green's spot is going to be threatened by
Antoine Wesley.
I'm telling you, AJ Green, who looked pretty bad all season.
Yeah.
Wesley splashed in some big plays in November and December last year. It was not consistent by any means. But that guy splashed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point
near the end zone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Some point this year, I think AJ Green loses that job to Antoine Wesley, which AJ Green's a future Hall of Famer, but I still think there's a good chance that happens.
A lot of future Hall of Famers that were not drafted. Yeah, that's
a good point. Last receiver I want to talk about is Rondale Moore. By far the lowest averaged targeted yards in the NFL. Now, if you don't know the NFL average for targeted yards downfield, it's 9.5.
Okay.
Rondale Moore's average targeted yards, how far downfield was his average throw?
If you're asking me, I'm going to say like -1.
1.1 yards. 1 yard downfield.
I was going to see if it was behind the line
almost,
of scrimmage.
Almost. I mean, here's the thing. And by the way, the next worst receiver was 4.7 yards downfield.
Wow.
So that's how different Rondale Moore's usage was. It was just bubble screen,
just
slant, bubble
it.
Screen. You can't be a fantasy factor on bubble screens.
Yeah.
You can't. Period. End of story.
Unless they're throwing you 10 a game.
Yeah, would take that, which they never did.
Yeah.
Which they never did. So you figure he probably gets better. He's just a better receiver in year two. You'd like to think they're going to open up a route tree for him in year two. But the way they used Rondale Moore last year, if it's anything like that this year, he's not even rosterable.
Are we sure Cliff Kingsbury is a good coach?
They've been saying that ever since he came into the league. I'm inclined to say he must be okay, but I don't know.
It doesn't seem like there's a mandate to all of these pieces in this offense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to like ever function on all cylinders.
We dissected Zach Ertz last week, so I'm not going to belabor the same points here, but I believe he's vastly underdrafted as tight end 12 right now. He could lead the team and lead all tight ends and targets. I mean, I've DeAndre Hopkins out. I mean, there's a good chance this whole passing offense could largely go through Zach Ertz. Really excited for his upside here. He was tight end 5 from the point of his trade to Arizona last year in week 7.
Yeah, and remember Max Williams was a fantasy factor for the first couple of weeks before Kyler as well. Yeah,
Max Williams is back, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully he doesn't eat into Zach Ertz's playing time, but I don't think he does. All right, let's talk James Conner for a minute. An absolutely ordinary runner with extraordinary opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Kingsbury doesn't run Kyler Murray near the goal line, which we talked about before. He uses his runners, and Conner got a whopping 19 carries from inside the 5-yard line last year, and he turned those 19 carries into 11 touchdowns from inside the 5.
It's got to be one of the higher amounts of guys inside the 5 with attempts.
It is. He only scored 4 touchdowns from anywhere farther than 5 yards, which I think really does also highlight that Connor's not a special talent.
He's like Leroy Horde.
He's a little Leroy Horde there. And because he's an ordinary runner, he's averaging 3.7 yards per carry and has a bottom 10 yards over expectation, and his is technically under expectation.
Ugh.
He's actually 0.3 yards under expectation for James Connor. He's just a guy.
He's just a touchdown-dependent dude.
Early drafters are chasing Connor's touchdowns from last year. He's going off the board as running back 16 in the 3rd round. Not paying it.
No, that's too early.
It's too early for a player who's not that good.
Yeah.
I can have J.K. Dobbins at that point.
Gosh, I hope he comes back and looks good, though.
I'm on the Dobbins bandwagon. I was last year at this time, and then, you know, who knew the ACL was coming? Darrell Williams is also, by the way, now a Cardinal. He caught a career-high 47 passing yards last year and will likely take Chase Edmonds' role from last year.
Okay.
With an outside chance of taking Connor's lead back role. I mean, if Connor's going to keep being 3.7 yards per carry and negative yards over expectation,
yeah,
maybe Darrell Williams ends up becoming the lead back at some point. His ADP, by the way, running back 57.
I thought you were going to say, like, running back 143.
Well, it's round 16. He's basically player 143. Yeah. So Williams, to me, if I had to pay the ADP on one guy or the other, I'd rather pay Darrell Williams' 16th round ADP than James Conner's 3rd round.
Well, as a do-the-opposite guy, you're not drafting James Conner in round 3 anyway.
Nope, I'm not. A
couple of wide receivers and a tight end, you're good to go.
I am. I know. That sets up the rest of my draft right
yep.
there. All right, thanks for helping me break down the NFC West, Matt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not sure who's going to be in next week.
Brian or Scott.
Yeah.
One of those two.
Definitely not you.
Definitely
because
not me.
You'll be gambling in the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. We're not sure yet.
We'll see.
Catching a muskie. You ever caught a muskie?
I don't believe those are real. They're imaginary fish that my parents made up.
It's always the one, it's the fish that's like 14 feet long. You
yeah.
see these guys, you know, it takes 2 people to hold a fish and all that.
Yeah. I've caught a big snapping turtle before in Lake Minnetonka. That's scary.
In Lake Minnetonka?
Oh, yeah.
They got a lot of swimmers in Lake Minnetonka. You don't want this. The snapping turtle will take a chunk out of you.
This thing looks like a manhole cover. I was like,
wow.
Oh, I reeled it up, and I was like, oh, get the scissors.
Don't want to deal with this. No, you do not want to deal with that at all. What's the biggest fish you've ever caught?
I used to fish a lot when I was a kid. I caught a fairly large bass. It was probably 4 or 5
large
pounds.
Mouth bass?
Yeah. Yeah. That was probably the biggest. A couple northern here and there, but mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fisherman.
I haven't fished in 10 years.
It's probably been that long for me as well. So
I need to probably get out there and do that a little more. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably do.
I do. All right, get out. You know, see the sun. We're having indoorsmen over here. All right.
Don't you have like a video game that like simulates fishing or something like that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of those. VR fishing is good. People love VR fishing.
When have you been VR fishing last?
Well, I was just talking to my buddy Joel, and he was telling me
he's like, want to come out of my VR boat?
Yeah, he was telling me about how he'd had, you know, it's just a bad day, you know, work's on his mind, and he's like, I need to get away. So he gets his Oculus Quest and he does VR fishing for 2 hours. He's like, I was not on this planet Earth. I was locked into my VR fishing game. And, I got away. It was like a mini vacation in my living room, VR fishing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I suppose with VR fishing, you don't have to stand up and look foolish and like wave your hands around and stuff.
You don't have to bait your own hook.
You can kind of sit on the couch and just move your wrists a little bit. That's
yes.
about it.
Yep.
That's pretty nice. I came home to my oldest son the other day doing one of his VR games, but he's just like swinging his arms around, just
yes.
flailing in the basement yeah. and breathing hard, and it's like, yeah. what the heck is going on down here?
It's a good exercise, by the way.
I hope it was a game.
Yeah, well, I have reason to believe there's that too. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than a quarter million satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.